Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Good morning. You're with Breakfast with Lin Lee and Ryan. And on Morning Shot today, it is World Water Day.
That's right. And we have a very special guest.
Someone better known as BioGirl MJ, the founder and host of online science channel Just Keep Thinking, Hong Man Jing. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, very happy to be here.
Yeah, it's very surreal to see you here because I always see you through my phone on your Instagram roles. So, wow, finally in the flesh.
Thank you, Nika. I'm happy to be here. So,
MJ, how about some quick fun facts?
All right. Hi, guys. Do you guys know that your tap water is actually really, really clean here in Singapore?
How clean? What do you mean by clean?
So, I think there was a study conducted, and compared to the WHO guidelines, which is like 10 parts per billion, Singapore is actually, our tap water is actually like around 0.02 to 0.3. So, that's like almost like 30 times lower. So, you might think that our tap water is really like unclean and not safe to drink, but they're actually way below the guidelines level. So, you know, if you're thirsty, halfway out there, you can just drink some tap water. It's going to be okay.
We're very excited for you to join us in the studio today to share more about how science education is evolving in the face of climate change. And also, we know that you recently, you know, went to the Antarctica, you know, with famed marine biologist Sylvia Earle. So we are so excited to talk to you more about all those things. But first, you are dressed in a yellow polka dot dress today.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's your signature look, right? And I have to ask, how many yellow dresses do you have? Because you always appear in every single video. How many dresses do you have?
That's a very common question I always get. So I actually only have three of them, three different individual dresses, and I wear according to the occasion. So my usual ones that I appear in my videos, they it's like quite casual, it's quite cute, spaghetti straps. And those are the ones that I always wear when I appear in my video. Currently what I'm wearing is like a bit of like a longer version.
The formal version.
Yes, slightly more formal, but I have an even more formal one where it's super long, it's like a maxi style dress. So only these three types of dresses, and it's all yellow and polka dotted.
Okay, just in case you're on Instagram, BioGirl MJ is also live streaming this interview on Just Keep Thinking's Instagram stories, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey guys.
You notice Lynn's also in polka dots.
That's right.
Okay, what first sparked your love for nature and how did you eventually, you know, morph into this?
Well, I first got to know and got in touch with nature when it was when I was in my JC days. So there's a science field trip all the way to St. John Islands. In fact, it's like a 3 days, 2 nights camp. So it was conducted by my seniors from a course in university in which I eventually got into as well. So they actually brought all the students to explore just the nature and wildlife on St. John Islands. And this was almost a good 20 years ago where I guess, you know, nature and wildlife and animal weren't a thing here in Singapore. So I was just amazed at the wildlife that we have here, all the way from the marine shores to the forest animals, the small little insects that are all hidden amongst the leaves. So from then on, I was like, I need to study this. And it's super fun, right? I mean, like studying animals in university, that's not something one would expect. So, and then I got into the course, environmental biology in NUS. And that's how I nurture the love for nature and wildlife and also gain my knowledge.
So you are a science geek to begin with.
I am very geeky. Everything around me is like science. And I, once an animal fly past, right, that's it. You know, I'll be talking about it all day long.
Okay. Now, tell us about some of your most memorable shoots. How did you decide what facts to draw audiences? How do you do that?
Actually, sometimes, especially when we just started out, you know, some of the facts that I thought would be interesting to the audience, right, it turned out to be not as engaging as I thought it would be, and things that I thought it was boring turned out to be like one of our best viewed videos. So that's when I realized, like, you know, anything goes, you know, you never know what will happen as long as you put it out there. So most of the things that I don't think is interesting might actually be interesting to a layman person. So that's what we always keep in mind. So whatever facts that comes to mind or wherever we get suggestion from the audience, we will just note it down and we'll just try and create a video about it and just see how it goes, because you never know what will happen, how interesting the video might actually be to certain people.
On that topic, you actually previously a private tuition teacher before branching out, so you kind of have your pulse on how things are interesting to some of your target audiences, right? So when you look at how education is evolving, what have you noticed? What really speaks to some of your audiences?
I notice that audiences nowadays, they are not exactly that focused about sticking to the MOE syllabus. They are really interested in exploring things outside of it. And, you know, when people go to social media, they are not there to have heavy content and, you know, get back into studying the things that they have already been studying since their schooling days, or even students on social media, they are trying to look for something that is outside of their textbooks. So I think science education in that aspect, that is getting more exploratory, is getting other people. More experiential. Get people are thinking out of the boxes. And even teachers, like nowadays, they're also younger teachers, so they are a bit more open-minded when it comes to providing, you know, more holistic education. So we've been getting a lot of requests to give talks about things that's outside of their textbooks, giving guided walks out there just to let the kids explore nature and get in touch with nature. And with the, you know, onset of climate change, and Singapore's also definitely working towards becoming a net zero country, so there is more interest and focus in that aspect. So it's a good direction, I think.
Yep. Speaking of directions and exploratory experiences, you went on an expedition in Antarctica with marine biologist Sylvia Earle recently, and that was a trip to better understand links between what's happening there and its effect on the rest of the world, right? So tell us about that experience. What were some of the observations there? And could you give us a hint as to how much we'll be affected here in Singapore with what you found?
That was definitely a trip of a lifetime. So we went there trying to understand the impacts of climate change in one of the most remote places on Earth, in Antarctica. So one of the more memorable and quite sad moment was that there was an area where the penguins used to be breeding, but because of the sea level rise and also the extreme weather events, the area is like more covered in water and it's also wet, so the penguins cannot actually breed there. Yeah, because they need dry land for this species of penguin in particular. So because of that, the penguins have to move further out to find a new location to breed, and if they cannot find in time, then their chicks won't be able to survive because they will be suffering from cold and they may die due to hypothermia. So I think that was one of the most memorable moments when you know see the area and it's just empty where it's supposed to have the penguins there.
Yeah, I'm curious. I have not been to Antarctica, and I imagine this is your first time.
Yes.
For someone who's been there, no, did it live up to your expectations? What you imagined, what it would be? Is it as cool as a studio here?
Oh, actually, it wasn't. So the area that we explored, partly is because we didn't go to the heart and center of Antarctica, where it's really like negative 80 degrees. But if you go there, which is very hard to travel to, it's, there's no wildlife there. So we actually hang out around like the small island areas. They call it the Antarctic Peninsula. And when we stepped there, there was like hardly any ice covered on that particular island. It was just grey and green.
No buildings, it's dark.
Yeah, no buildings, but no ice also. So I was like, this is weird. And when I took a photo and posted it online, right, I was like, this is Antarctica. And everyone was like, are you sure? Like, where's all the ice? So it wasn't that cold. It was like just what, 1 degree. And the coldest was negative 10.
What did you have to do to prepare for this trip?
Definitely preparing. I prepared a lot of research materials. That's one thing, because I'm there on a mission and task to film more videos and explain the science to my audience in my own way. So definitely a lot of research, but also a lot of packing to do. Bringing my biggest luggage that I've ever bought on a trip. And also packing like 5 sets of clothes. I have to wear like 5 layers every single day. Yeah, so as much as I can, I try to borrow from all my friends or, you know, thrift it, because I mean it's thick winter wear that I don't get to use it very often.
Okay, in recent times we've seen a rise in iceberg tourism, right? As people flock to see the ice shelves before climate change kills all of that. What are your thoughts on that now that you've actually been there? And can that be done sustainably?
I think personally, after I went for and, you know, take a look at the icebergs myself, the icebergs themselves have their own story. And I thought that was very new and very refreshing to me. And the site itself was so beautiful. And it did spark a few emotions in not only just me and for the rest of us who actually witnessed. So I felt that even though tourism is increasing, but who knows, it might actually cause them to have some thoughts when they look at how beautiful iceberg is and how it might disappear. But with that being said, of course, you know, with the rise of tourism, then you actually put the environment into danger. So hopefully the government will put some restrictions as to how many people can enter the area at one moment. But I do see there are actually positive benefits in letting people experience this beauty of nature and letting them reflect on what they can do for the environment.
You mentioned iceberg stories.
Yes.
What stories?
I know, that's very interesting, right? Because, you know, people will think it's just a piece of ice floating in the water. But every single iceberg, when we went on our expedition, our guide was sharing with us story of each and every iceberg, every single crevices, every single bubble that's inside the iceberg. And some of the icebergs were like gorgeous blue colour, like Tiffany blue colour. And that's because of the air that's being trapped inside as the icebergs were being formed when the snow was being compacted, and then they froze into this block. There are small little bubbles inside, and when the light passes through and reflects all around the different wavelengths, the blue wavelengths actually is visible to us. So it was like a gorgeous blue. So every single pattern on the iceberg, there's a reason why the pattern occurs. Maybe due to sea level rise, or, you know, like it broke off from a bigger glacier. So that was very interesting, and it gives me a whole new perspective on, well, you know, what iceberg is and the stories that they actually tell through history.
Did being there with the marine biologist Sylvia Earle, you know, add to the experience? What did you learn from her?
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, she's pretty old. She was actually 88. So can you imagine, like, this?
Wow.
She looks frail, but she's super strong. And she's just there after all these years, even at the age of 88. She's still champions for the ocean.
Three times your age.
I think almost four. So yeah. So she was just there, and she always have hope. So I mean, that's the biggest takeaway that I get. You know, no matter what happens to Earth, and no matter what, how many reports that we've been seeing, even up to the age of 88, she's still there championing for the ocean and spreading hope and telling us not to give up despite all the challenges. So that was definitely sorely needed in this world today. And that is something that I hope to carry on also, to bring positivity and hope to everyone.
Yeah, MJ, talking about championing, right? One of the things you do is, back home in Singapore, you bring kids and actually adults as well for all these educational trips to the intertidal zones, especially like Changi Beach. And I'm sure you've come across many videos as well. A lot of people misbehaving, digging up stuff, putting in pills, bringing it home. What do you make of it? What's lacking here that we need to really address?
So that actually happened. This issue first appeared during the COVID period. And it was really unprecedented. Like, we never seen such issue happenings before. So I was also very curious. I mean, like, the marine animals are like my little babies. I'm like, oh, they're going to be, they're being dug out, they're being poked at, they're getting injured. And one of the things I realized, I mean, education is definitely one thing. I think being cooped up in Singapore, everyone's just dying to explore wherever they can. So being in this new area, looking at all these new animals, they have no idea how to really treat them with respect. That's one thing. And also, I guess it's also a cultural difference, because some of the people there, they're actually not locals. So they don't really understand that this is actually not what we usually do in Singapore. Maybe they've seen it online in their own social media and they thought it's okay to do it back home here. So I guess in that aspect, I see it's an opportunity to educate as well. So even though it's it seems like a sad issue, but all of us took collective action, including the government, and we did patrols, we head down, we try and educate as much as we can to convince them to release the animals and share with them more. So as they learn more, they actually start to understand about animals and they are willing to let it go also. So that was a nice sight to see, like a switch of mindset that they have, you know, as long as we are more patient and we take a more educational approach to the issue.
Are the regulations in place to protect these things? Do we need stronger ones?
Oh, I mean, that is to be debated. So marine vertebrates, most of them are actually protected under law. Invertebrates, most of them are not. Actually, so because I mean,
what are you talking about? Invertebrates.
Oh, invertebrates. Sorry. Animals with no backbones, like your snails, your sea stars, your shellfish, your sea cucumbers, and for good reason, because some people, there are still some fishermen or families that are going out for foraging. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's been a long time tradition. Yeah, but because of that, I think some of the other people who are not exactly foraging, they exploit it unknowingly in a way. And with that, the government is discussing on whether to have regulations in place. And we'll see how it goes. We've been through a few engagement sessions together.
Okay, MJ, very quickly before we let you go, what is next for you? What's your next big project?
ah, my next picture. I'm still trying to think. I just came around Antarctica, so I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to stay in Singapore for a while. We hope to do more sustainability issues and address climate change in our own way, because I think it's definitely a topic that more people should know about. And hoping to see if we can have a physical space soon here in Singapore and expanding our team so that we can do more in this area.
Great. Thank you very much for your time this morning and being with us in this studio. We've been speaking with Kong Manjing, or Biogol MJ, the founder and host of online science channel Just Keep Thinking.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.